everyone out there. Welcome to Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast. I'm Cindy Cherry with my brother Tim and my dad, Don Cherry.
Don't yes. forget Del.
Oh, Del. Del's the mastermind.
Well, we have to say that we're glad Del's back because last week we did a whole podcast and I recorded it, but I forgot to hit the record button, so we had to do it all over again.
Rookie. What a rookie.
a rookie mistake at the best. I was looking and going, well, the lines are moving, so we must be recording. And then I realized, uh-oh. So then we had to do it all over. So if people wondered why Dad's voice was a little gone on the last podcast, it was because we had to do two in the morning because I screwed up. So I got fired and Del's back now.
Del's back. No more sleeping in on Sunday mornings. Too. Yeah, yeah, I got a haircut just for us. So what are we going to talk about this week?
Well, today I have to say something. I'm a little upset.
No.
No, I'm not. Usually I don't get upset. But I'm a little upset. I just can't believe all the stuff Bobby Orr has done for Perry Sound. Now, I've gone up there and you and I have gone up there for the golf tournament. And,
in support of.
And he has all his friends from Boston come up. Derek Sanderson, the owner of. And you know, I he does a lot. Or I think he does a lot, anyhow. And and I know he does a lot for charities. And I know, Cindy, I don't know whether I said this or not. Tim, I don't know whether I told you or not. But I when you were in the hospital, did I tell this story? I don't know. Anyhow, I'm going to tell it again. While you were in the hospital, I had a nurse said to me, well, your star player was over here today. I said, star player? Like, well, I think I'm the only guy I have one star player. And he was over there on a Tuesday. He goes he went every Tuesday, and he visited all the children in the hospital every Tuesday. Nobody knew about it. Anyhow, and this girl wrote a letter and ripped him pretty good. And I just can't believe that they did the letter.
The Perry Sound newspaper put an article from like an op-ed, they call it, lady who really gave it to Bobby for.
Yeah, and you know what the funny thing is, all he said was I support Trump. He didn't say he didn't knock Biden. He didn't knock anybody. He said he support. Now, if he had supported Biden, he'd have been a hero today. But that's the way he was. That's the way he played. You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of a few years ago, Royal Military College were going to give me, what do they call it, an honorary degree?
Yeah.
Yeah, honorary degree with two generals. And I was really impressed. And the girl that taught French there wrote a big article how bad a guy I was and, you know, racist and all that stuff and everything. And so they were just waiting for me to come down there and the two generals, they wouldn't even, the guys that really deserve the honorary degree, they wouldn't even been mentioned. So I said, I'm not coming. But I just can't believe, that somebody can't voice their opinion in politics or anything, and they're a bad guy. I just don't, I don't get it. Anyhow, that's the way I feel about it. And he's my friend. And he'll always be my friend. And
was there any rebuttal from anyone?
No, not one nothing? Person. No, nobody.
Again, once again, you're yeah, the only you're one that's mentioning it, sticking up for Bobby.
I don't know about that, but I mean, he was the greatest hockey player who ever lived, and he's the greatest guy.
Yeah, just one thing about his charity. I remember reading about that. They retired his number during. The Russian, remember there was an exhibition game between the Bruins and the Russians, and they weren't selling out. Like the Bloom was
3,000.
There was like 3,000 tickets, and it was going to be a disaster. And then they announced they were going to retire Bobby's number there, and it was sold out.
On the Russians, not Montreal, not Toronto, or not, you know, when they had.
But let me tell you the postscript of that.
Let me finish this story. Oh. And then, so what happened was Bobby said, I'll do it. He says, but all the sponsors and everything that's going to go and all the television commercial and all that all has to go to the Children's Hospital in Boston.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he said he'd do it, but he was wanted to make sure that nobody was going to make money on it. Yeah. And everybody and any money that was made on it and got it all went to the Children's Boston Children, and nobody knew about it. Like he
didn't. I didn't even know about it till now.
No, he did that.
And so that's what he does. And I know he does charity. Well, we know that.
No, yes.
But he said some stuff for our dogs.
Yes, coming up in February or March, the Coach's Closet. He sent us a bunch of stuff. He mentioned that it was coming, and he sent some stuff.
And he makes no money on these things, and just. I mean, the charities that he does, you know, I'm not getting carried away here. Well, I guess I am getting carried away here. But you know, I got to tell you about that Russian series. I didn't want to play it. And Harry thought that, you know, Russian army and everything was going to be great. I wouldn't go out on the bench. I see, he had an ovation. There's never been an ovation like that again. He tried to speak. How long, Tim? Were you there? Do you remember?
Well, I watched it on TV. I think he was like 10 minutes. He got an ovation, and every time he started to talk, they start cheering again. But you're right. The hockey world was kind of mad.
Oh, the rest of everybody was mad, but Boston. Harry didn't.
Because they were doing that with the Russians. Like, they, you know what I mean? It was obvious what they were doing.
And it took us a month to recover.
Can tell you that Mom and I, you know, we used to sit amongst and where we sat. There was a lot of season ticket holders. Like, season ticket holders had been there forever. And what had happened was they had first dibs on the tickets for that game. Well, they have absolutely no interest in the Russians. And they gave all the tickets, their tickets away. So then they switch it that it's Bobby Orr night. I mean, can you imagine they've you know, been going for how long, watching Bobby Orr? Yeah. They're going to finally retire his number, and all the old timers weren't there to see it. Well, the next game, when Mom and I went, did we hear about it? I can't believe that I wasn't here. And it was very disappointing to a lot of those season ticket holders that gave away their tickets for that exhibition game.
Oh, disappointing to me, too. And the play and our team.
Well, I remember, I think we had won something like 19 out of 23 games going into it, and then we went on a tailspin. Like, I think we won 3 out of the next 18 or something like that.
And we were and we couldn't believe. Naturally, they wouldn't fight, but we couldn't believe. And the guy Wayne Cashman called me in and said, "Look, just look," and all the spear marks were on the guys where they'd been speared. And he said, it took me a month to get them straightened out. And you know what? The crowd didn't like us either, because we couldn't see what they were doing, or the crowd couldn't see what they were doing. And they could see what we were doing. Is that with Dombrowski? Is that the time?
I think we played them twice, and one was I think that's when he was, and then there was another ref. I think Wally Harris was the other ref that we had, and he stiffed us worse than the Russian.
Wally Harris, he was supposed to be a good guy, but you know, did I ever tell you why we got Dombrowski? I never forgot his name, Dombrowski. That was the referee. Let me tell you the story about that one. This is a good story. I think it's a good story. The NHL was together. He says, Philadelphia had won the Stanley Cup. He says, we can't have the Red Army. We cannot have the Red Army beat the Stanley Cup winners. I don't care what happens. So we have to have a referee. We have to have Gilmore, because Gilmore was a referee. What was his first name? I forgot his name. Lloyd Gilmore. And he was a good referee, boy. He was the best referee. Well, John McCauley. Anyhow, we had to have Gilmore, because Gilmore, he didn't care. He'd call it anyway. And we had other referees. They'd bend over backwards. You never want, when you play, you never want a Canadian referee to referee the game, because, as usual, they'll bend over backwards to the other team. So they had a meeting. The NHL had said, "Well, we got to give him to a good club. We got to have a Russian referee, and we cannot have we got to have a good club. We can't have a good." So they said, "Hey, we got an idea. We'll give him Boston. We'll give him Dombrowski." And I remember we scored. We were up 2-0. I can still see the play. We scored 2-0. We scored with 3-0. Would have made it 3-1, and they'd never ever get back in that. The referee called it a goalie to Cashman, goalie interference. They scored and ended up, it was a 2-2 tie. We were supposed to be up 3-1. And that the guys just went nuts. It was
yeah, well, one day we should talk about that whole, I remember Freddie Sherrill talking about that whole Red Army, that series, how big it was, you know, that the Philadelphia, you know, that the Flyers, they couldn't beat the things. And
that was when, is that when they said we're going home?
Yeah, Eddie Van Impe hit well?
Oh, Eddie Van Impe, he had a penalty, and he was in the penalty, boy, and he came running. Who did he hit in the corner? Karmeloff or something?
One of them.
No, they're all the same. And I tell you, boy, and they said, we're going home. And Bob Cole was saying, they're going home. They're going home. And they were going off the ice. And Al Eagleson said, went in with the Snyder, Mr. Snyder, and they said, you go home, you don't get paid for your trip. They come back.
Yeah. Well, I remember there was an interview with Bobby Clark between the periods, and I forget it was interviewing him, and he said, so he goes, you know, you played the Montreal Canadiens, and he says, you know, you're a big rivalry with the Boston Bruins, and now, you know, you're playing the Red Army. What's the difference? And he says, well, Montreal and Boston have class. These guys don't.
Well, and, you know what that's from?
Well, yeah, that there's stuff that happened before then, right?
Yeah. They took everything. They took sticks and skates and anything that moved. They took and they give them. Philadelphia gave them
I guess what happened was that they were supposed to have a press conference. So the Flyers all showed up. They said be there right at 10 o'clock. So all the Flyers showed up, and the Russians showed up an hour late, which didn't sit well with the Flyers. And then they gave them a gift.
A nice gift,
and they said it was junk. They didn't want it, and then they said we don't have enough sticks. We want your sticks, some sticks. So the all the players went in and gave them. And they said these are junk sticks. We don't want them. So can you imagine with the Broad Street Bullies antagonizing them like that? So they were just chomping at the bit once the puck dropped.
And Bobby Clark, he seemed to play his best when he's playing the Russians. I think he hated the Russians. I don't know. Remember, they interviewed him. He said he was an animal and all that stuff and everything. When I was over there, they had a movie. The Russians had a movie of the
72
Summer series, and they had Phil Esposito like he was a maniac,
Yeah. Well, they said they won that series, right?
Yeah, they won it
because they
how
scored.
The hell did they win it? I don't understand how they won.
They said they scored more goals.
Oh, is that how they did? Yeah. And if it had been a tie, they were going to keep the cup. And that was the greatest series of all time. And I think I told a story about Dennis Hall, but I think Bobby Hall said it best. He said, Bobby Orr didn't play. He had a sore knee. He was over there, and he says, good job he didn't play. And everybody would. He wouldn't have gone 8 games, and we wouldn't have been heroes.
Yeah. Well, in the 76 ones, then, like, with Bobby Hull and Bobby Orr playing, and I think all the teams are Russians. I don't even think, you guys played the Czechs in the finals.
Oh, the Czechs.
And I don't even know if the Russians even made it to the semifinals yet.
No, we were up, but we were not ready for, believe it or not, we were not ready for the final game against the Czechs, and they had a good little goalie, Drizella. I never forgot his name. And he was a good goal, and we go into overtime. If we had lost, you know how the papers would have, we would have been, and Sittler scored, and it was unbelievable. I mean, that was a series. That was the greatest team ever put together. We were cutting 50 goal scores, and I remember Jean Pronovost. Remember Jean Pronovost?
Oh yeah,
yeah. He scored 50 goals, and we cut him. Rene Robert. I mean, we were cutting guys who were great, and I remember shaking hands with Pronovost after. You know, they cut him. You know how they cut him? I'll tell you how they did it. It was unbelievable. We had a dinner that night. Honest to God, this is what they did. They read who made the club. And the other guys are sitting there. And the guys are giving it to me. Like I was assistant coach, or they were looking at me. But we read. We read who made the club.
And they found out that night.
That's how they found out, sitting amongst other guys. Instead of, taking them aside,
how
saying, I'm sorry, you didn't make the club.
Well, who made that decision?
I don't know who made the decision, but... So anyhow, I shake hands. I'm so sorry, Jean Pronovost. And he crushed my hand. He's, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. Let's start again. So I wasn't ready. You know, when you're not ready, the guy crunches, you can hear the bones crack. And I said, what are you, nuts or something? And and he come up and he apologized after. He was about to go.
You have a couple stories with people shaking your hand. Remember the guy in the airport that crushed your hand?
No, and you walked back? Yeah, that was in Ottawa. And there was a great big Mountie there. It was a security guy. He was ex-Mountie. Boy, he's a big guy. And we must have been on the road because I had my bag and everything like that. And we shook his hand going in. He crushed my hand. Whoa, let's start again. He dropped all my bag and we're up against the wall. He thought I was nuts too.
We just want to mention our sponsor, Spreads.ca, a First Nations owned online casino and sports book tailored for Canadian.
You made a bet, eh?
Yes, I bet Dustin Johnson was going to win the Masters as we're doing this on Sunday morning.
You played it pretty safe, though.
Yeah, but I mean, I did this at the start, not halfway through, and I thought, well, everybody knows he's Wayne Gretzky's son-in-law, so that's why he's almost Canadian, so I bet him, but he's up now, he's just teeing off. So if you sign up now and enter the promo Grapes, they will match your deposit 100% up to $500. So if you put $50, they'll match $50. You get 15 free spins on the wheel to win big money. And then your first sports bet, they'll give you a $25 free first sports bet. So that's spreads.ca. It's always good to support Canadian business.
Nice to support Canadians. And that's, as you know, got me in a lot of trouble, but I still support it. And on the Parry Sound, I'm just going to stop on that. I won't get on it again. But I don't understand it.
Well, you said that too. That one thing is that you're kind of used to it. Like they said, oh, there's going to be an article on Don and the Toronto Star. Well, you know it's going to be bad.
I like when they start up. I never liked Don Cherry. You know it's going to be a good article.
Yeah.
And when they start out saying, I used to like Don Cherry, you know it's going to be a bad article. And I just don't understand. Well, I shouldn't. We weren't going to talk about this, but in the Toronto Star, the guy just ripped me to shred. I mean, doesn't he realize when he does that, he just, and at the end, he says, I'm still drinking. I'm having my tea with my milk and honey. All he does is tick off all the guys that like me. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, I don't mind. I mean,
What was the first time that you saw a bad article about yourself in the paper?
Well, I remember it was a great writer, too. His name was Trent Frayne. And he was a great writer. I mean, maybe you people in, I think, Toronto Star, I don't know, maybe it might have been the Globe. And boy, you know, he was my friend. And he gave it to me like you couldn't believe. I mean, and character of myself. And I didn't know if I could go on hockey. I'll tell you, first time I got it was like that was him. And I didn't know if I could go on Hockey Night in Canada. That's all. That's how hurtful it is. And then after a while, well, it doesn't bother you at all. One lady that Toronto Star get, she wrote 10 things that I was, how bad I was. And
read that on Hockey Night in Canada.
Did I?
Yeah, misogynist.
Yeah, and a misogynist. And I thought, gee, I don't get massage. I thought it was, you know, some massage.
They had an article. Remember they did a show when Mom was in it, and Mom was laughing about it too because Mom was immune to it too. She was saying, "I don't know half of those words mean that they called Don and all." And remember, she just used to shrug it off.
I think it bugged Mom.
It'd bother her. Mm-hmm. Rose was the exact opposite what I was. Everything bothered her. She didn't mind me fighting. Oh, we must tell that story about the time at Pittsburgh. But everything I remember one time. We had Daryl Sly. I used to play with Daryl. No, not Daryl Sly. Donnie Johns, who was a boy by now. He was a good. And Mark Reum. Mark Reum. Boy, if he played now. Oh, boy. Anyhow, I think six teams in the National Hockey League. Where are you going? So we had them over for Thanksgiving or one of the dinners or Christmas or something. I used to invite people over to have Christmas and everything. And Mark Reum was a gentleman of gentlemen. He was like Jean Ratel and Beliveau and all those guys and everything. In fact, I room with him. I must tell a story. I used to room with him in the Admiral Hotel in Burnaby, B.C. Anyhow, we're sitting there at the table, and I've got to be a cruel guy. And Rose is sitting to the right of me, and, you know, just having turkey dinner. And he didn't know Rose was from Hershey. And he said, you know, no, it's a funny thing, he said, you ever notice when you go to Hershey, all the women are short and dumpy? I says, yeah, Rose is from Hershey. I thought he was going.
But we always had players over because Mom was the type of person that if there was single guys or even the married guys that didn't have their wives at the team, at the hometown Rochester, we would always have them over for Easter dinner and Thanksgiving and even Christmas and all. So we always had the players over like that, and they used to come and they didn't. I remember they always never knew what to bring over, so they'd always bring gifts for Tim and I. And stuff. So it was always nice because all the holidays we had hockey players over.
You know, I don't think Mark Reum, I don't think, you know, he was in a bad car accident driving back from Rochester. I think he was driving LaSalle. He comes from LaSalle, Ontario. And I think he was driving back after a game and he got in a car accident. But I don't think he ever forgave me for saying that. No, I mean, really.
That is kind of mean.
Yeah, I know. I was a mean guy back in those days.
Well, I imagine Mom wasn't too happy, too. Not only because of the dumpiness, but to embarrass the guy like that.
Mom was more upset at you than Mark.
Yeah.
As usual.
So, Dad, you got any scuttlebutt on what's going on in the NHL?
You know, I wrote things down, and I think everybody else, I wrote things down that I thought that would be interesting for, now, this is not in concrete. The National Hockey League say they're going to be opening January 1st, and the training camp's going to open December 15th. Now, with the virus, the way it's picking up or whatever you want to call it like that, and there'll never be a bubble again like they had in Toronto. That was unbelievable. And, you know, that was pretty good. The NHL and the players were pretty good. They stuck to it. There wasn't one, imagine that, there wasn't one case of virus or anything like that. See, the reason they're talking about it, and they want the Las Vegas owner let it slip about 2 or 3 weeks ago that they were talking about a Canadian division. Now, Canadian division is pretty good. First of all, you don't have the travel to start with. So the owners, U.S. owners would be happy about that. Now, I think, just grabbing one guy, you'd see McDavid 2 games in a row, and they're going to play 2 games to save travel again. Now, I don't know about the National Hockey League or the Canadian division. I don't know if they're going to do that.
Yeah, they were talking. That's one of the things that's coming out. Is they want to do it kind of like, you know, in baseball, Cindy, where a team comes in and they'll play 2 or 3 games.
Yeah.
And that's what they're talking about. That, because then it's less travel. Then it cuts down the travel even more.
Right? Yeah.
So that's what they're talking about.
We used to do that in the American Hockey League. We used to travel to, on a Sunday, we'd play Sunday afternoon, and it'd be jammed at Quebec Coliseum, and we'd play Tuesday. And boy, that second game was all, you know, the rivalries. I mean, you know, you.
So do players, do they hold grudges to the next game?
Oh, yeah.
They do?
Oh, yeah. And I remember one game, Rosé Paymont.
Was he related to Wolf?
He was a brother. He was a brother. In fact, he had a bar. I think he's got a bar in Florida called the Penalty Box or something like that. And every time you go to Florida, I don't know what, I think he's in Miami.
I think it's in Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah.
Is that where it is?
I think so, yeah.
All the Canadians go there to meet other Canadians. So you'd see McDavid.
But you were saying what happened with
Paymont.
With Paymont. You said,
oh, yeah, Rosé Paymont. We were, I remember him and I don't know what happened. Jimmy McKinney. Jimmy McKinney was supposed to be another Bobby Orr. When he came, a junior, he always makes jokes. But when he was junior, he was like Bobby Orr. And I don't know, Rosé Paymont, and I don't know, the first game. But the second game, first thing, they went at it again. And Jimmy was a good player, but he couldn't fight.
And he was actually fighting.
Well, it was a rivalry, eh?
Yeah.
Because of the first game and then the second game, and that's what.
So what? Paymont That's kind of weird because Paymont must have been older than McKinney, and he went after him.
No, he went after. I don't know. They had a fight anyhow, and I jumped in and I did the best I could. But anyhow, the NHL, they're going to have, you know, if they do have the Canadian division, I think it'd be great.
They almost say pretty much that's going to be for sure.
Yeah, well, I hope so. Now, the first round will be 3-4, like when they in the Canadian division would be 3-4. This is what I hope they do. I don't know. I don't want to go down. And then the second would be 4-7 to make the final. Now, I think it'd be great. U.S. against Canada, don't you?
I do. I think it's, well, first of all, as we talked about it before, there's no rivalries anymore in hockey.
And, yeah, you play in October, you don't play till March.
Yeah, so they would break it up. Like, there's going to be, they call it the Metropolitan Division, so it'll be like Buffalo, Boston, New York, the Islanders, Philly, it would all be in, and then there's going to be the West Coast, and then the other teams are in the middle. Yeah. So I think what I would really think would be good is if they do that, and then if they do play two or three games in a row, can you imagine, like, say, Calgary's going into Edmonton and
twice.
They play twice, and Edmonton's 4 points ahead of them. That's a big, they got to win those two games.
Like, it's a 4-pointer. Every time you play, it's a 4-pointer.
And it's going to be like, it's almost going to be like a playoff format. And they, because they're going to play what, 60 games they were talking
about? 48. They're talking about 48 to 70 games.
So it'll be like a sprint. But what I also heard is they have to get it over early, because if the Olympics go on this summer in Japan,
well, they don't want
that. Yeah. NBC says we got to go do that, so it has to be over by the spring, the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, well, they'll play 48 to 70 games. They'll play. Now the big deal is the players have to decide on this. Like, they'll have to have a meeting like this. They're talking about the players only getting 75% of their money. Well, first of all, they have to escrow, and then they have to have taxes, and I mean, you go down the list. So,
but we were talking the other day, Dad. Some of the owners were saying just scrap the season.
I don't understand why the owners would even want to play, because if there's going to be no fans, where are they going to make any money? The basketball, football, and baseball can make money on the TV. The money that they get from the TV, especially baseball,
They can play in empty stadiums and still make money.
I cannot see why the owners would want to even play, because they're going to lose money. They're going to lose a lot of money. And I own the Mississauga Ice Dogs, let me tell you,
They said they're going to try. Well, there's a lot of stuff with the OHL. They said they're going to try to do it in the beginning of the new year, from what I've been reading in the paper. But Lisa McLeod of Ford's government said there's going to be no hitting. The Quebec League started, and then they had to stop, except for the Maritimes. The Maritime kids are still playing. And then the Western League, they're talking about starting up soon. So, you know, it's that, and then it's the American Hockey League. Nobody knows what's going on.
Hockey is up in this virus has really caused a lot of trouble, and if there's going to be no fans, I don't understand why the owners would even want to play. And you know, if I was the players, I'd be very, very careful saying I want so much money. Something is better than nothing. You know, Alex Trebek, I used to watch him once in a while. I didn't know any of the answers. I knew one. I was about Charlemagne. And I knew the name Roland and Charlemagne. Anyhow, I knew the one. You used to watch it all the time, eh, Tim?
Well, I still watch it all. Yeah, it's on 7:30 here. I watch it all the time. I remember watching it with Mom. Like, how far back do you go with him watching
it? I remember Jack Pardo. I remember the original announcer on it. That's how far back I go watching Jeopardy.
And they said with Alex Trebek, the last thing he did was the introduction of the first pick for Ottawa. That was the last thing he did.
Well, he was always Canadian, and he tried to get Canadian answers on. Nobody knew them down in the States. The only one they ever knew. Ralph Mallaby told me that that he was the guy. He tried out for Hockey Night in Canada.
Right. It was after. Was it Ward Cornell that left?
Ward Cornell left.
And then, so I remember Ralph saying that it was Dave Hodge and it was...
A bunch of other guys, too.
Yeah, it was three other... But it came down to three guys. I can't remember the third guy. It was Alex Trebek, Dave Hodge. Because I think Alex Trebek at the time was doing a kid show called Race to the Top. So it was kind of like...
You know all about this.
It was like a quiz show. And it came down basically to three guys. And the guy was Ted... Who did he work with? Ted...
Darling.
No, it wasn't Ted.
Ted Huff.
Oh, Ted Huff.
I think Ted Huff said, we can't get Trebek because we can't have people with facial hair. And he had a mustache. So they picked Dave Hodge instead.
Well, let me tell you a story that I don't know if Dave Hodge will appreciate this or not, but he was not happy with himself. He didn't think he did a good job. And he kind of, and Ralph took him aside and said, hey, come on, take it easy, calm down. You'll be a star. Just come on and take it easy. And he was a star. And Alex Trebek, only reason he didn't make it was, but he was pretty smooth.
Yeah, his mustache. And I remember talking to my wife, I said, you know, it's funny how things work out. You imagine how devastated Alex Trebek was that, you know, you're up for Hockey Night
Canada, and
you know, we're going with the other guy. But in the long run, look, you know, things
Lord works mysterious ways.
Things worked out the best. So it was almost instead of you almost work with Alex Trebek instead of Dave Hodge.
Hey, funny, not many guys had a mustache back then. I guess
not too many people had facial
hair.
No, and
nobody on television had a mustache either, come to think of it.
Nope.
Well, he looked pretty good in a mustache, and he was
he was always pushing hockey, and he was always pushing Canada. So,
yeah.
And, you know, it was refreshing that he was a Canadian that made it big in the U.S., and he kept
Yeah, because
Canada.
It's the other way around. Anytime anybody makes it down in the United States, they say he's Canadian-born. That means he's just passing through. I mean, and the big thing is that they're Canadian. They go along with it. And not Alex Trebek, boy. He was a Canadian through and through, and he did that thing for Ottawa Pick, and he was a great guy.